Hello, I'm Chuck Zimmerman, and with me here in this interview is Nate Tyson. And Nate, let's first learn a little bit about yourself, where you are currently living and what you do.
All right. We are over living in Wentzville, Missouri, and I'm the building principal at Wentzville Middle School. We have, my wife Laura and I have three kids, and our kids are Paul, Claire, and Mark, and they're all little. Paul's our oldest, and he's 4 and a half, and he's starting preschool this year. And the other ones are keeping us real busy.
We just completed a men's cooperator circle meeting here in Columbia, Missouri, and I thought it might be interesting for the website and the people that I'm trying to begin communicating with about the work of Opus Dei, as well as just the whole idea of living out a spirituality in your daily work with the philosophy that and theology of St. Jose Maria Escrivá. The first thing I'd like to do is, have you, because you're very involved, we'll talk about that in a minute, but Opus Dei, just how would you explain that to somebody? And just a short, if they said, what is it, what would be your kind of quick reaction response?
I think the quickest response is to just go ahead and say that Opus Dei is a way for an ordinary person to sanctify their ordinary life and their daily activities. And then we try to also go ahead and help other people through an apostolate, and you know, this should be with our friends and in a very normal way.
And when we say in our daily life, one of the teachings of the founder of Opus Dei was just that anyone can do this. We're all called to.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That you know, there's the universal call to sanctity and holiness, and that we should all be trying to strive for to be saints and to get to heaven. And, you know, we do that just by, in our daily life, by offering hours of work or you know, just doing whatever it takes, making sure that we have a nice plan of life where we're trying to live some norms of piety, which includes some prayer and some spiritual reading, just to go ahead and make sure that we're trying to live a continual presence of God throughout the day.
And Opus Dei itself was Latin for meaning the work of God,
right.
Basically. In talking about how anybody can do this and we're all called to, what are some of the recommendations? You mentioned a plan of life, for example. What would be some of the elements of that that anybody could consider doing, whether they want to be affiliated with or even learn more about Opus Dei?
That's exactly right. I think with the plan of life, some of the high points are, you know, with respect to the norms, is to go ahead and make sure that you're offering a daily morning offering, that you're trying to get time of prayer in, you know, where you're actually praying, you know, and you know, we have a crazy life, but we got to go ahead and try and set some time aside for God and to talk to God, and sometimes that's just 15 minutes, but we want to go ahead and do that. Obviously, we try to get Holy Mass in and communion, being the center and root of the interior life. Try to get to confession, obviously, you know, as often as possible. A lot of people like to do it biweekly or monthly, but as often as is needed, obviously. And then also we try to get the rosary in. The founder of Opus Dei had a really intense devotion to Our Lady and our mother, Mary. So definitely we want to go ahead and make sure that we're living some of those Marian norms of piety as well, which include the rosary and then also, you know, things like the Angelus and just other ways to keep her also in mind. I would say those are probably the biggest components.
Some people, and I did initially, have an idea that, you know, this is some sort of very organized association that you join and probably pay dues, and really it is not at all. In fact, it's so far from it that the founder went to great lengths to try to prevent it from becoming, for example, an order of monks or nuns,
right,
for that matter. So how would you describe, there is still a structure to it.
Yeah, it's a very loosely defined structure. First of all, I just, you know, need to emphasize the fact that it's very secular, and it's lay people. I mean, there are priests involved, but they're secular priests, and so yeah, we're very far from being a religious order or anything like that. It's composed of lay people, you know, both married and not married. But in terms of the structure, really, Opus Dei, you know, and in terms of, you know, for example, when members go to receive spiritual direction, things of that nature, the direction is explicitly only in the realms of the person's spiritual life, and then things having to do with the apostolate. And so things of the professional world, other things that may come in with respect to the family and decisions that need to be made, you know, obviously people are, you know, if you want to ask, just like you would ask a good friend, you know, what do you think I should do in this situation? Obviously they'll give you some hints on that, but really it's the spiritual life and apostolate where they really focus their energy, and that's really where the input, you know, that's when we really care about and respond to the input. The rest is really left up to the individual person.
There are some ways that people can become involved with the work, and there are a couple of different ways that can happen. You mentioned priests, and there are priests of Opus Dei, meaning they receive their formation there and all. But what would be, you know, what makes a cooperator? I know you're a supernumerary, and there are numeraries, and right. I think it might be interesting, just a little short description of what those are.
If you're talking about sort of the defined membership, you'd be talking about associates, numeraries, supernumeraries. Within Opus Dei, everyone has the same vocation. It's the extent to which you're available to help out with the apostolate that kind of makes the distinctions. So a numerary, for example, is a person who, you know, lives a celibate lifestyle, doesn't get married, lives in a house of Opus Dei or a place that is a center of Opus Dei. And their availability is much greater because of the fact that they don't have a family and all of that. So they have a much greater availability to help out with the apostolates of the work. Whereas supernumeraries are generally married and people who are going to be quite busy. But, you know, at the same time, they are called to help out with the apostolate as well. But it is understood that they're not going to be as available as say, for example, a numerary. So. The associates, for example, they are celibate individuals, but they don't live in a center of Opus Dei. They may live in a house somewhere because of whatever circumstance in their life. It makes it unable. If, for example, they might have a job that they really need to be in, and there's no center nearby. And so, of course, sometimes we have numeraries in that situation as well, but that's sort of a distinction.
And how about cooperators?
The cooperators, really, they're not considered, to the true definition, members, but they are like the good friends of Opus Dei, and they're people who want to take part in the activities of Opus Dei, and help out with the apostolates of Opus Dei, and so really that's kind of how they're looked at is the good friends of the work, and this is generally where the membership comes from is the cooperators.
What was it that brought you or your attention to Opus Dei and the idea of wanting to get as involved as you have in the apostolate and helping with the work?
Yeah, actually, for me, it was a very concrete point in my life. I had just gone to St. Louis, having lived in Wisconsin as a kid, and went to St. Louis to go to Washington University. And I had attended Sunday Mass at the Newman Center and was walking back from the Newman Center to my dorm when a individual ran after me and literally ran after me. And just started chatting with me and having a conversation, and we just talked a little bit and you know, very, very normal, and went ahead, and I don't know, probably about a 5-minute conversation, and then as we were walking down the sidewalk, and then he turned into some campus building, and then later he gave me a call and just asked if I wanted to go and grab a bite to eat with him, just like any person who was trying to get a friend would, you know, and so we did that, His name's Tim Barry, and he's actually a numerary member of Opus Dei, but really that was, you know, it was his willingness to get himself involved in my life that really helped to change my life with respect to, you know, my own spirituality and has made a tremendous difference in my life, and that's what got me hooked into Opus Dei and all the great things that are going on there.
Well, Nate Tyson, thank you very much for taking a few minutes with us here.
Absolutely.
I'm going to plan to use this on my website, and I'll let you know when that happens.
Fantastic.
But we just wanted to provide people with a little bit of information about just what this Opus Dei thing is and realize the kinds of things that it can mean to them personally. Again, thank you very much.
Thank you.